to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Five verses left in this chapter that we have not covered, and of course five verses in the book that we have not covered. Title, I have just simply entitled this study tonight, Final Admonitions. Final Admonitions. There are two charges that are given in this particular section. There's a charge to the rich, and then a personal charge to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, in opposition of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Well, we have, again, two charges that are made in these verses. And the first charge is to the rich in this world. That means those who have monetary means that are out of the extraordinary. This logically would not have application to some of us because we're not rich. But on the other hand, do you realize even though that some that are not rich, they covet what little they have, and it becomes in the same snare to them as it does to the rich. And so there is a charge here that is made with regard to those who are rich in this world's goods. They are to have a proper trust. One of the deceitfulnesses of riches is that it tends to build trust in itself from those that are recipients of it. Somehow or another, there becomes that satisfaction, that contentment with, and ultimate trust in riches themselves. And you'll notice that the Bible said in our text that charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. I realize that we can name families, and these families have been steeped in money for generation after generation. Goes back for hundreds of years. That family has held massive possessions. But at its best, it's still uncertain. There are things that change and change constantly in this world. I just listening to the news yesterday, and they were talking about a billion-dollar bunker that Saddam Hussein had built. He trusted in that bunker to keep him safe, and now he's imprisoned, and that's gone from his possession. So it does make a difference what we trust in. And the Bible said not to be high-minded or to think ourselves superior if we happen to have wealth, because it is uncertain. It does change. Governments change, and therefore wealth sometimes changes. Folks that were wealthy in Russia 100 or so years ago, now likely many of those families are impoverished if they're still alive. So there are uncertainties about riches. But in contrast to that, he said our proper trust should be in the living God. And in relation to that, do you realize that God is unchangeable? Uncertain riches, they change, but God never changes. To Israel of old, one of the points of confidence that the Lord stated to them was, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And that means that He's the same for them prior to Egypt, in Egypt, and out of Egypt and back in the promised land. And through the generations to come, God is still the same. Now, their circumstances changed because of their conduct. But the living God did not change. Much to the dismay of the Mormons today, they believe that God changes, that God progresses. That God is certainly evolving, as they would say, and progressing. Much as humankind will change and progress. There's not a one of us here tonight that could not say that our life has changed somewhat. We have changed somewhat in the not too distant past to the present in which we live. But if we're trusting in the living God, He is the God that does not change. The one that can love and does love and will always love His children. And so we're to trust in the living God. That means that He's not dead. He's not an image. He's not an idol. He is not a system of doctrine, but He is the living God. And He lives from generation to generation. The Bible tells us in our text that who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, there are times that we are impoverished, but yet we're rich. I use the illustration of the church in Smyrna out of the second chapter of the book of Revelation, a people that were being persecuted and would continue to be persecuted, and the Lord pointed out to them that that's the very future that they have, and that's the promise to them, that they're in poverty and will be impoverished, and they'll suffer. But then He said in that context, but you're rich. What is it God could give them? Well, He can give them His presence in their hearts and in their lives. The assurance and confidence of His presence in their very being. And we can trust in the Lord in, as we look at riches that do change. God is unchangeable and always the same. And so He gives us these things to be enjoyed.